Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Ted Baer, who is the publisher of Movie Guide. Ted Baer is the go-to guy when it comes to a Christian perspective on the movies. Ted, thank you so much for joining us again.
Oh, I think the world of you. You do one of the best programs, and I appreciate you having me on the program. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, now, there is a new move, I understand, from Sony. They're considering the possibility of offering, in the case of a few movies, maybe it's about 20 or so, a family-friendly version that you could have as an alternative version within the DVDs that you get from them. Something to that effect. And then I understand that some Hollywood producers and directors and writers and maybe even movie stars are upset with that because they feel like it would violate artistic, discretion. Oh, you're going to cut out the swearing in the movie? No. We want that in there. We put that in there for a purpose. So go ahead and wax eloquent on this whole issue.
Well, this is something that people have asked us for since the 1980s, believe it or not. I don't know whether you ever asked for it, Jerry, but a lot of other people, every month or so, or when I go and speak. Or
I'm asking now. How's that? Say, we're making up for lost time.
Why can't I get the clean version?
Yeah.
Why can't I get the version I saw? I saw this movie on television. It was great, and then I took my family, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
So that's a big question. And back in the 80s, I took some heads of ministries to meet with the head of Warner Brothers and other studios. And then a couple of years later, McDonald's spent $10 million trying to say, this is what the audience is. We did it. We always got the same answer. And these were good people that we were meeting with, people who have faith and values. And they would say, well, we'd love to do this. We do believe that all the research shows we could make more money. But we would get crushed by all the unions and the union power. And for some reason, and I can tell you, and I'm going to tell you, just stories about that. One of my friends who is head of DreamWorks did one of the best movies of all time, and he did it because his brother was an idiot civil. It's called Rain Man, and the movie was clean. He wanted families to see it because they'd see what you do with a person who has handicaps. Of course, you can't use those terms anymore, so forget that I said that. And then one of the stars, Tom Cruise, who he said was the $20 million giant in the movie, started using the F word in one scene in a motel, and he wouldn't take it out. So, it doesn't matter if you're the head of DreamWorks, the head of Warner Brothers, and this is what's happened. We know that Sony would like to do this. We know that Warner Brothers and Disney and others would like to do it. But as soon as Sony said we'd like to do it in their press release, and I think they were talking about 50 movies, including 50 First Dates, which were sort of cute, and Big Daddy and Captain Phillips, which had practically nothing in it, so it would have been perfect, and Spider-Man. You know, these are movies that your family would like to watch, and they got hit by the Directors Guild, who said, this is our artistic preference to use the F word. Well, you know, one of the things we've done in the past is people have asked us, we look at all the different language, the violence, the sex, and we say, this is how much it costs you in the box office. For instance, there are no R-rated films in the top 10 films last year. There are no films with the F word. It just doesn't happen. And in the top 25 films, there are no films that are having excruciating sex or violence. So here we are. We've got people that are voting at the box office for the good, the true, and the beautiful. We've got the figures because we do the numbers, and I can send you all the numbers. And then the studios know it, and they'd like to make more money. And then you suggest taking out one F word, because sometimes these movies only have one F word or one bad scene, and they go bonkers, and they've gone bonkers. And this is incredible to me, Jerry, that people confuse their artistic ability with, sort of these libertine license to to poke their finger into people's eyes.
Hmm. All right. Well, first of all, let me say this. Your research is available at movieguide.org, plus comments on movies and culture and so forth, but also specific movies and, you know, what a Christian perspective on those movies would be. Let's go back to Rain Man for a moment. Am I to understand that there was one scene in a hotel room where Tom Cruise, the actor, insisted on using the F word, and even though some people making the movie didn't want that to be the case, the actor insisted on that, and so it stuck in there. Is that basically what you said? Or was it?
That's exactly what I said. The person who was responsible for the film, because it was a film about, you used to call them idiots of holes. They're people with tremendous memories on rote matters, and it was a terrific portrayal. And it was really about his.
It was very touching,
and he wanted his family to understand it. But Tom Cruise, I said, every time I went in and met at DreamWorks, and you know, I helped with the Prince of Egypt and brought the theologians in and all this. This was years ago.
Right.
He would say to me, my big disappointment in my life was Rain Man because it killed the box office for the movie. Now, it did well. You know, I'm not saying it didn't do well, but he realized it could have done better and it could have achieved his. He's the same producer who did Schindler's List. So,
oh, wow.
He's a producer who's motivated by doing issues that are heartrending and positive and uplifting. And yes, and I hear this all the time. I mean, I could give you a lot of other examples, but it'd be a waste of our time. The point of the matter is, it seems to me, you know, there's a statement about the tail wagging the dog, that my father was a star in the 30s. They would have never let him do that. He won the box office award. They would have never let people do this.
Yeah.
And today they just kowtow to these stars and to the directors. And the directors, they would have never met. Louis B. Mayer would have fired the director. Go out and get another job because we want to make money. We're the entertainment industry. We're trying to reach as broad an audience as possible. So this whole thing is very destructive of their own industry, and it's very sad. And, I think that people need to pray and don't always blame the studio. It's not always the studio. Now, there are bad people at the studio, and there are good people at the studio, so I'm not whitewashing the studio. But the studios would like this extra audience. We've talked to them since the 1980s.
The family-friendly audience. Yeah. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Would each time an F-word is used in a movie, that would actually cost the movie in its distribution, that would actually cost money because it would shrink the audience? I assume that would be through word of mouth that it would shrink the audience.
It's both and. Hmm. It used to be that if you had one F-word, you were R-rated. And there's been a rating slip, as Harvard did a study showing the rating slip, and that's also been published on movieguide.org. But the rating slip is now what used to be R-rated is PG-13. So there's some PG-13s that have the F-word, and that makes me upset. Mm. Makes me upset more when they take Jesus' name in vain.
Oh, yeah, me too.
The F-word to me is not as offensive as blaspheming the name of Jesus. But anyway, if you're going to put the F-word or you're going to take Jesus' name in vain, you're going to cut out my children. You know, I have 9 grandchildren. They're not going to take their grandchildren to the movie.
Sure.
And you're going to cut out grandparents because they don't want to go to the movie. So who are you going to reach? You're going to reach 18 to 24-year-olds. But that's sort of a myth because Movie Guide, our YouTube audience, is several million, and 90% of them are young men between 18 and 24, so evidently those young men are looking for good, or they wouldn't come to Movie Guy because we're outlandishly outspoken about our faith and our values and the fact that we love Jesus. So we get a big audience, 34 million a month.
I remember a few years ago I wrote a whole column about profanity, and I said, do you remember the last time you went to a movie and then you came out and you said, that was a great movie, but there just wasn't enough swearing in the movie? And the answer, of course, was never. That, you know, it's always the other way around. You know, there are some great movies, great works of art. In fact, I think Rain Man is a perfect example of that, because that touches your heart, that, you know, that the handicap or, you know, the disability that that the Dustin Hoffman character was dealing with, and you know, it was touching. The relationship was touching, and then, like you say, to mar it with that is so unnecessary. But Lord willing, there could be a day, and maybe not too far off in the distance, when perhaps studios would allow at least a family-friendly version, a family-friendly cut of successful movies to be distributed, you know, like on a DVD. You buy a DVD and there's the main cut, okay? And then there would be perhaps this airline version cut, if you will, available for you. I would love to see that. That would be wonderful.
They're talking about having it available in streaming and on demand, and, you know, you can choose whichever version. Now, there's also pressure on them because there are people like VidAngel that have been cleaning up movies, and actually the law, the government has a law in place that once you get the DVD, which we don't do anymore, but we've used that for the electronic version, it's yours. You can use it as a plate for your food. You can, you know, bury it in the ground. You can step on it. You can sell it. You can do it. It's yours. So you can edit it. And under that theory, which was the Sony Pictures case, as you know, because we've talked about it before, VidAngel and everybody else could edit it according to your specifications. And now they've come up with an even better way. And I could take either side of the argument. I used to be an attorney in the U.S. Attorney's Office. I can argue for the copyright. I can argue for the freedom of the person when he's bought it, that it's your property once you bought it. But I do think that they're getting sophisticated enough, and I think the courts eventually are going to take the power to do this away from the studios. So I think one of the things motivating the studio to make this decision is fear that sooner or later somebody else is going to be doing it and making millions of dollars off their product, and they're not going to be able to do anything about it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Well, but certainly they're not doing it just out of eleemosynary charitable thoughts. They're doing it because they think it's money.
Right. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. When it comes to, there was a Utah-based company, so obviously they'd be catering to Mormons and so forth, but other family-friendly.
VidAngel.
Pardon me? VidAngel?
That's VidAngel.
Okay. Yeah. And here's an example. Okay. You got Titanic, and people want the actual movie, but they don't want that one nude scene, and they don't want, you know, a couple of language things, you know, remove those. And we want the rest of the movie. But I thought that they were challenged, and James Cameron, the director of the film, even went after the company, and they had to cease and desist. Are you saying that ultimately VidAngel won?
That was a previous incarnation. I don't believe in reincarnation, so take that word away.
Right.
That was a previous version of another Utah company related to this one that was doing it, but they actually got permission to do it under very strict circumstances, and they still exist.
Oh.
And they still allow you to prescribe, but VidAngel was doing it on streaming, and they were taking the money, and you were selling it back to them after you watched it. So it became a streaming practice, and Disney sued them. Well, I'm going to say about 5 or 6 months ago. I don't like to estimate because I don't like to be accurate.
Yeah.
But it was 5 or 6 months ago. And so they've been in a holding pattern. But they have appealed, and they're taking it up the ladder. I think, like the Sony Picture case, there's a good opportunity for them to prevail. And I think that's Sony and maybe some of the other studios think that they're going to prevail. And if they do prevail, then they will provide clean versions. If you say, I want to watch Rain Man with no F-words,
right,
they can stream it to you without F-words. I want to watch Pixels with no GDs. Then they're going to stream it to you. Why Pixels, a children's movie, has GD in it is beyond me. I want to watch Moneyball, which is another good movie, without these things.
Yeah.
And so if they do it, they're going to become a Goliath overnight. They're going to become Mammoth overnight. They're already very big. And the studios know that. And they know that they've got to do something about it. But remember, it's not the studio decision. As one of my friends, long time ago, I took a friend of ours to him, Barry Reardon, who was head of Warner Brothers, who didn't want all this stuff in it. he said, I got to deal with 1,800 different contracts. One of my friends just produced a movie that they had 18,000 people working on the movie.
Wow.
And all of those unions have their own contracts. And for some reason, this is what we've got to get at. Why we produce a crop of people like Judd Apatow and others that think that their expression of their greatness in their art means that you've got to stoop to conquer and make just vile language and vile scenes that have nothing to do with the rest of the movie. I can't tell you. We review 100% of the movies that open in 250 theaters or more. Every week I get a review, like this week, of a movie that's a comedy, a rough night about these women who kill a guy. And then they put in scenes that just take the comedy away just to make you know that this is pushing the envelope of disgustingness. Oh. And that is not art. That is not art at all, Jerry. Aristotle wouldn't define it as art. Plato wouldn't define it as art. And Jerry Newcomb wouldn't define it as art.
Nor Ted Baer.
Or Ted Baer. And people who say that this is art. And you hear it even in the Christian community. Rough Night is art because this woman starts kissing a dead man to pretend that he's not dead and gets involved with it.
Oof.
This is ridiculous. Stop it.
Wow.
Stop it.
I'm glad you gave me a sneak peek, so we'll make sure we miss that one. But, Ted Baer, we're basically out of time. MovieGuide.org for more information. Stay tuned. This is a story that is yet to unfold. Thank you so much, Ted. God bless you.
Great.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.